Think Red Ink presents The Questions of Jesus. Profound meditations with author and host Don C. Harris. What did Jesus ask?
Question 82. Have I not chosen you 12? John 6:70. And Jesus answered them, Have I not chosen you 12? And one of you is a devil. There's a vast difference in choosing Christ and being chosen by Christ. I recommend that one read the entire chapter of John to get a grasp of this thought. The concept would be better understood yet if a foundation was first laid. In our culture, the Bible is read as one devotional thought after another. We need to view a wider context in this writing of John 6. Notice, if you will, the subject. All who the Father gives me will come to me. Here we see a clear definition of election. All will come shows the certainty of election. The proviso, who the Father gives me, shows the sovereignty of election. Election is an avoided subject in most every religious circle. No one likes it, although, if we're honest, we'll admit that it's not the election of the saints with which we take umbrage. It's the selection that gives us pause. Without approaching how it is done, we will consider the sixth chapter of John conceding that it is done and that election is an inseparable part of the salvation process. John 6:37, All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and he that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. The miracle in the first part of the chapter of feeding thousands with a small amount of food was a sign to some that the prophet, for whom they were waiting to come and rescue them from their political distress, was indeed he who stood before them. They thought to make him a king. When Jesus perceived this, he removed himself by stealth to avoid a political uprising. When they followed him over the sea, they asked him for a miracle sign to show them he was the anointed to be king. They felt the installation of Jesus as king would be the, quote, works of God, God's will, in other words. What shall we do that we might work the works of God, they ask. Jesus was disappointed because they did not believe in him. They only deciphered that he was Messiah. They were not sent to him of the Father. They came because they saw him as their king and benefactor. He wanted them to believe in him, not make him king. Making him king was not the work of God. Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. Now with the subject clearly established, he shows that the Father has sent them all the evidence they need to believe, and yet they still do not. They mention Moses, another ruler, benefactor, feeder of the people. Jesus rebuts, Moses did not give you bread. It was my Father. My Father now gives you the true bread from heaven, and yet you do not believe. You want to see a sign? I am the bread sent from heaven. But I say unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. Here Jesus explains the twofold process of being included in the resurrection. One step is clearly within our control, and one is obviously out of our control. The will of God concerning election is that he reveals Christ and we believe what's been shown us. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. After this speech, the Jews were angered that he said that he came down from heaven. The religious leaders murmured and grumbled about what blasphemy had been committed and made it clear to all around them that they did not believe him. Jesus said, "Don't worry, boys. You can't believe on me unless the Father says so." He actually said, "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him." Jesus goes on from here to explain the intricacies of this faith to which God has called us. This manna from heaven, this bread of life given to us, is none other than Christ himself, who has come to give life to all who take him into themselves. This is why he says, "Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." This was said for the express purpose to offend. When one places their life in the hands of Christ, what can he say that would make you turn back? When Christ has been revealed to you, what choice do you have but to follow? When it's a matter of volition, deduction, or simply following the one from whom we receive the greatest benefit, the choice remains as one to be made every day. We may find ourselves constantly weighing alternatives and benefits, evaluating costs and rewards, following one day, then leading the next. We are called of God to seek Christ, then subsequently chosen by Jesus. Our lives are navigated from above. We are as slaves and bondservants of our own desire to follow him who bestowed such favor and grace and power on our behalf. We don't follow for food. We follow because we believe that he is the way. We follow because the Father has shown us the Messiah and made us able to be partakers in such grace. There's no offense to be taken. There's no choice to be made, no evaluation, no balancing of sacrifice and blessing to be taken into account before we take his road or ours. We take his way because we love him. We love him because we see him. We see him because the Father draws us to him and reveals him to us. If we obey, he in turn reveals the Father to us. As if to prove what he'd been saying throughout this chapter, and as if to verify the calling and choosing of these men, he asked, "Will ye also go away?" "Master," they said, "to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." When individuals are called by God to go to Christ, and they obey the Father and seek and find him, and then they are chosen by Christ to follow, these believers will be different than the masses. They'll be tenacious disciples that have the strength that comes from having seen, having known, and will not turn back. Although even these are to endure their time of testing, they make no decisions in ignorance, for they have seen with their eyes, and they have heard with their ears, and their hands have handled the word of God. They know in whom they have believed. To be chosen is to live in assurance, assurance that you did not force your way into the kingdom, but were invited by God himself. You obeyed that voice and sought out Christ, believed on him, and surrendered to his leadership. Your salvation does not hang in doubt, nor do you fear the day of judgment, for you were called by God and chosen by his Son. After the disciples look at him so anxiously and ask, "To whom shall we go?" Jesus answered them, "You see, this is what I was talking about. These people want to make me their king. You know me as a king within yourself. They want me to make them bread from heaven. You see me as the bread from heaven. When I say things they do not understand, they turn and seek another. You know that there is no other. Have I not chosen ye 12?"
That's all for this time. You've been listening to Don C. Harris at Think Red Ink Ministries. Do you have questions or comments? We'd like to hear from you. Send an email to don@thinkredink.com. Join us again for the next episode of The Questions of Jesus.